Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, yes, good afternoon. It is 2 p.m. Eastern Time in the wonderful United States of America. My name is Faye Odalika, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure. It is August 21st, 2015, and I'm so excited as today we'll be talking about a very, very important topic. And this topic came to me in an enlightenment experience, I guess, I've been having for the last couple of months, and we're talking about emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence is key to a balanced, healthy, and fulfilled life. And so today that's what we'll be talking about from my experience, as well as all these different books that I've been reading up on and different conversations I've been having with different people within the last month. So I'm really, really excited to share talk about this topic, because I think it's very, very important. Not only is it important in our personal lives, but it's also important in our business life and as well as in our spiritual life. So I look forward to sharing some great insight on what I've gained in reading some books as well as my personal experience, and then talking to individual people. And I had actually a great, great confirmation yesterday, which I'll get to that story. But really, emotional intelligence is talking about how do you deal with your emotions. And one of the books that I was reading on, the number of them that I've been reading on. And the main one I read back in college at the University of Florida when I was working on my Bachelor of Science for Health Science Education, and we had to read Daniel Goleman's book, Emotional Intelligence. And this book has been around a while, for a pretty good time. I call it a classic, especially anyone who is in sociology, psychology, or human behavior, or even anthropology. So it is definitely a book I think everyone should read in order to truly understand how do you deal with your emotions, how does that affect you in your behaviors and your thought process, and most of all, how you live out your life. Because if your emotional intelligence is not, well, they call it emotional intelligence, or EQ instead of your IQ, there's the various levels of intelligence. There is social intelligence, which also Daniel Goleman has a book on that as well, and I actually have that one. I haven't read that one yet. And then, like I stated before, he has the emotional intelligence. They call it the EQ. And then we also all know about IQ, you know, how smart you are. But really what I've come to realize that out of all those three levels of intelligence, emotional intelligence, I believe, by far is highly important. Not to disregard the other two, but I think when you have emotional intelligence, no matter how smart or not so smart you are, or how socially how you may be a social person, or maybe you may be antisocial, wherever you fall on that spectrum, that emotional intelligence truly is what will get you through life. Because as I've been reading books, and my background is in healthcare, I used to be a nurse and health educator, and then I did seminars for 2.5 years. So I kind of have, I'm not saying I'm an expert, but I'm just speaking from experience, what I've been reading in the books recently, as well as what I've come across in my personal life and individuals that I have had conversations with. And what I've come to realize is that through life, the level of your intelligence should increase on all three of those levels, but especially emotional intelligence, because emotional intelligence is telling yourself as well as others, how do you deal with your emotions? Do your emotions control you? Do you control your emotions? And even thinking about, when you talk about emotional intelligence, even how it affects you internally. Because one of the books I read, was talking about different kind of emotions, especially the unhealthy ones, which they are healthy in moderation, but if it becomes one that overtakes your life, then it's unhealthy, such as anger, resentment, or grudges, or unforgiveness. And even as a Christian, even God talks about that. You know, it's about your heart. It's about how you perceive things in life. And I think it's very, very important that especially as Christians, that when we talk about emotional intelligence, it's really a component also relating to our spiritual life. And I believe I'll probably start with that conversation, because that's where I recently have been getting a lot of this enlightenment about emotional intelligence, because within the last month or two, I have been attacked in various ways. All my social media has been hacked. All my technology was hacked. So I was I had very, very limited access to my documents, to things that I needed to do for my business, as well as my social media and even my telephone. And it was interesting how I reacted, because my old self, who was, I would say, less mature and not so spiritually inclined, or not just mature in the physical, you know, in a cognitive sense, but also in the spiritual sense. You know, as I've matured and as God has taken me on different journeys of life, overcoming different obstacles and challenges, you know, it helps you understand things differently and you have a different perspective. Even recently, I've also been listening to different sermons talking about faith. Because I said in this season that I was going through, I said, I need a lot of faith to understand why all these challenges are coming my way, especially when I'm trying to work on some big projects and trying to do some things that will help me to reach my goals in life. And when I come to realize that it's about faith, but it's also how do we perceive things that happen to us. And one of the books that I was glimpsing through, I didn't really get a chance to read it, but it had some interesting things, was Emotional Freedom, Liberate Yourself from Negative Emotions and Transform Your Life by Judith Orloff, M.D. And it was quite interesting when you think about the perspective of how do you listen to yourself? How do you share your emotions? And even another book that I read was also talking about the same thing. It talks about when you don't share your emotions, and sometimes I think whether it's your professional status or your spiritual status, however you perceive yourself, whether you see that you have to be professional and you have to be very straightforward or you have to be very conservative, or if you're in a spiritual sense and you have to be rigid because that's how you thought church was, which I thought that was church and come to realize that's not really how church should be, or if you're someone who's very laid back and you're just like nothing bothers you, it just kind of rolls off your shoulders, you know, all those different, the various level of degrees in that spectrum. The extremes are not that great because if you're extreme on one end or the other, you're missing out opportunities to connect with people. You're missing out opportunities to even connect with yourself because if you're very laid back, then you're just like nothing really matters, nothing, you know, nothing really bothers you or nothing, you don't care about anything, and you're really just like more of just going through the emotions. Or if you're on the other end, which I used to be very, very conservative and not really worry about things, and just try to be rigid and make it seem like nothing really bothers me. And then emotionally on the inside, I was very torn because I was holding all my feelings in and my emotions because I thought I shouldn't share them with people because people would perceive you differently or because of the status or where you live or what you did as a living was some of those things that put us in a box. But when you're also at that end of the spectrum, you harbor so much in that it's not healthy for you on the inside. It affects your organs. It can give you some conditions that you know, some people have actually been able to be healed from because they've allowed those emotions to release. And a funny joke is when I was growing up, when you would sneeze or when you burped and you didn't allow it in, they said if you held it in, you were killing yourself or you were going to hurt yourself. And so it's kind of the same thing when we don't allow our feelings to be expressed. Of course, there's a healthy way of expressing our feelings, but it's something when we share our feelings, how liberating it can be. And trying to find one of the books I was reading on yesterday. I think it was called, one second, let me see here. I have all these different books in front of me, so bear with me for a second. I cannot find it at the present moment, but there was this one book I was reading on, and it talked about when you don't share your feelings, how, you know, you're not able to express who you are, and it can cause a lot of stress, and that stress can lead to cancer. It can lead to other diseases that can be, you know, a predisposition or physically, but then also can be exacerbated or even come on you because of stress. But then it also talks about in sharing your feelings that we should not have a perception about how people feel about us. As long as we share our feelings in a proper way, you know, if it's a feeling of anger, it's okay. Anger is a healthy emotion, but it's how you express it and does it overtake you. Is it anger to tell someone you say, I'm upset because of X, Y, and Z? Or is it that you punch a hole in the wall or you throw things down or you kind of act out like you're having a temper tantrum as an adult and instead of as toddlers do, and that's not healthy. But it talked about how we should be able to express our emotions. I remember one of the other classes that I took at UF in undergrad talked about, you know, you have to own your feelings. you know, something about saying, I feel this way, or when you do this, it makes me feel like this. And when we express our emotions and take ownership of it, then we're able to not only release it out of us, but we're also able to articulate it to those who those feelings are can be affected from, or the person who's actually bringing those feelings upon us. One of the interesting books that I was also reading on was The Emotional Life of Your Brain by Richard J. Davidson with Sharon Begley. And this was quite interesting. It talks about emotional style. And when it said emotional style, it says emotional style is a consistent way of responding to experiences of our lives. It is governed by specific identifiable brain circuits and can be measured using objective laboratory methods. Emotional style influences the likelihood of feeling particular emotion states, traits, and moods. Because emotional style are much more closer to underlying brain systems than emotional states or traits, they can be considered the atoms of emotional lives. They're fundamental building blocks. And that was quite interesting because emotions, as we know, it not only can affect our physical body, but it also can affect our brain. There's different brain waves and different chemicals that are released with certain emotions. And in talking about, we talked about anger, and there's another one to talk about is a feeling of, I guess, you know, to be blank and to be frank and open. Talking about depression, there's, you know, I was listening to another sermon from a different pastor, and he was talking about that everybody has a moment of depression. Some people have it very small, some people have it, you know, a little bit longer, and some people have it as a clinical disease. And it was quite interesting how all the emotions that we have in our lives, and, you know, I will relate always back to my Christian faith because I'm a believer, is that all the emotions that we go through as human beings, God gave it to us. God even allowed his son to go through those emotions. Jesus was depressed when he was, you know, crying out to God when he realized that, you know, his life is on the line and that he's actually going to have to die for, you know, for us in the process, die for our sins and die for humanity and humankind in order to bring us back into a right relationship with God, that he was, I believe, had a moment of depression. And some pastoral psychology have also said that as well, or spiritual psychology or clinical psychology have also stated that, you know, at point in time, you know, even not only Jesus, but there were some other disciples that kind of went through some form of depression, or even biblical characters that went through some form of depression. So every feeling or every emotion is appropriate in the time frame. But if it goes beyond a certain time, then that's when it becomes unhealthy. If it affects the lives of others or even yourself, then that's when it's unhealthy. And so I think when we talk about emotional intelligence, it's how do you perceive things? How do you deal with things? Not just the good things, because when good things happen to us, we're all excited. We have a big smile on our face, you know, well, not all of us, but, you know, very cheerful, or however you express your happy side. But then there's other people who are always angry, always mad, always, you know, just very cold. And it's like, you know, there is a way to kind of have those feelings, but then how do you deal with them? And so when we talk about happy moments, you know, it's not only can we keep those emotions when we're happy, but can we keep those same emotions that we express when we're happy when we're going through hardship, when we're going through various challenges in life? And I could say personally that I gained some insight on that because many, many years ago, going through the worst part of my life, I call it the quarter-life crisis, I didn't know what to do because I was not equipped for it. Even though I had a degree in health and education, behavior modification, and community health, I took classes on emotional intelligence and how to deal with people, how do you deal with your, you know, behavior and all those different things. And then I also was a nurse, so I've seen so many different things in the decade plus years that I was working as a nurse, but I never really understood it when you add that spiritual component to it, because I always believed as a Christian, if I gave my life to God and I played by the rules and, you know, I tithed, I gave back to the community, I was active at the church, I was in seminary, I was doing all these different things, that would protect me from life. But then what I've come to realize many years later is that we live in a broken world. So regardless that we may be children of God, that doesn't prevent us from bad things happening to good people. You know, if it rains, you know, in one of the Bibles and even the discussions when I was looking at different verses, it talks about when it rains, you know, it's not just going to rain on good people, it's going to rain on bad people as well. And so it's one of those things that even as Christians, and I think sometimes theology, especially when I was growing up, I had a very not really truly a biblical understanding of theology when it comes to salvation, when it comes to living out for Christ. Because I thought, well, if you give your life to Christ at a young age, life will always be great. You'll have this big protection around you, and it prevents you from all the evilness in the world. But life showed me differently, and I thought, you know, the church was a lie, that God was a lie, and everything that I believed was a lie. But what I come to realize through maturity and through life experiences and God working with me and loving me and taking me on this journey of life and understanding him more and understanding what it means to be a Christian, that we do have to bear our cross, that there will be moments when we do have to go through hardship. And it's how we deal with it. How will we continue to keep our faith with God? And one of the books that I found in my book collection was Connecting, A Radical New Vision, and that's by Larry Crabb, and it's called Healing for Ourselves and Our Relationships. And it was quite interesting when it talks about how we need to heal from the inside out. And one of the things that I wanted to share from this book, when it talked about the faithfulness of God, and it talked about midlife crisis. I believe I had a quarter life crisis, and I pray not to have a middle life crisis. But it talks about how we should journey through that and what we should do. And here it says that there was a psychologist who's been practicing for 25 years, practicing and teaching. And these are some of the things that he came up in expressing. How do we maneuver through life when we have to endure some hardships, and how do we come out on the other side where we can take opportunities to grow from it? And it says, beneath what our culture calls psychological disorder is a soul crying out for what only community can provide. There is no disorder requiring treatment. And then contrary to hardline moralism, there is more to our struggles than a stubborn will needing firm admonishment. Beneath all our problems are our depressed, desperately hurting souls that must find a nourishment only community can provide or die. And that is so very true, because when I was going through my darkest moments, I left the church. I left the community because I felt God had let me down in disappointment, that God was not faithful. But even in this season, and not going through as much hardship as I went through before, but just having some challenges, as I shared before, you know, getting personal attacks and all my social media and all my devices and technology being hacked, and just having to endure as I see God blessing me and moving me and having me to do some great opportunities and great contacts and great projects. But then on the other hand, all the challenges that I'm facing, and that helped me to understand. And I thank God for the people that God has placed in my life, and I thank God for the people that love to pray that are in my life, but also thank God for even my church family. There are some people at my church that, you know, they encouraged me when I was thinking about, you know, something's not right, and maybe, you know, just talking about different things, and they were just encouraging me to keep, you know, keep being in the choir, keep going to church, keep going to Saturday morning prayers. And you have to fight through, because when you give up, then you've allowed the enemy to defeat you, and you've allowed, you kind of like surrendered without even realizing it. But when you continue to fight through and knowing that God said, it is finished, God said, we are already overcomers, we're already victorious, and then it's we have to live that out. And so living it out is where we're able to realize that no matter what happens in life, that God will always be with us and God will always watch over us. And then there was another interesting book that I came across, which is Emotional Chaos to Clarity, How to Live More Skillfully, More Better Decisions, and Find Purpose in Life. And as we talked about the spiritual side, wanting to go to the personal side, kind of intertwine that into the spiritual side, but wanted to kind of really talk about that specifically. You know, I think it's quite interesting when we talk about emotional intelligence in our personal lives, and it's really coming from an introspective process. you know, how do you view yourself? And I was reading this article from Inc. magazine, and it talked about what emotional intelligence looks like. And some of the things that emotional intelligence will tell you how mature you are in that level of intelligence is, how do you deal with toxic people? How do you deal with people who are just so negative? I mean, the glass is always empty. There's always a dark cloud over their shoulder. There's always something going wrong. Even, you know, someone was nice to them and they're still just negative. And, you know, when you deal with, when you talk about toxic people, it's understanding that you have to separate yourself from them. Like, you can't allow that energy to suck your energy. You know, you can't allow the joy to be taken away from you or your peace. And you just have to, you know, put that person at a distance and say, you know, it's this person that perceives life that way. I don't perceive that life that way, and I can't allow that person's perception of how they view things negatively. If I'm an optimist or even a realist, which that can be kind of a balance, but sometimes I think realists are a little negative and pessimistic too, but that's a different story. And it's, how can you separate yourself from that environment, whether it's a hostile environment? I remember working in a hostile environment, and I was just like, okay, God, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to endure this process? So whether it's, you know, God forbid it's at a church, which I hope it's not, or if it's at your job or if it's in your family, you know, you just have to learn how to be, how to know who you are on the inside and how you are going to continue to be you no matter what. And that even leads to offense. When people offend you, or people talk bad about you, or people do bad things to you, or people treat you, you know, in a way that you shouldn't be treated, then even then is where your emotional intelligence kick in. Do you allow that to affect you? Do you allow it to depress you? Do you allow it to change your perception of who you are, what you perceive they should treat you? And I had an interesting conversation recently with a good friend of mine in leadership and life and in organizations, how we talked about, you know, how do you deal with those moments when people may not treat you how you want to be treated, or people may not be so nice to you. And what I've come to realize is that we have to look at that person's perspective sometime as well. You know, maybe that person had a bad day, or maybe that person is going through some, but then you even have to take it a step further. How do they grow up in their family? What kind of family situation were they in? Because, you know, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a therapist. You know, I'm just saying from experience and from the books that I read and from the, my healthcare professional background. You know, it's talking about even families. How did the family dynamic, were they enmeshed? Were they cohesive? Were they distant? Were they just completely dysfunctional, which there are some, but there's still hope, as I've met people from dysfunctional families, and mine is kind of somewhat, but not an extreme of it, as I've seen others. But, you know, it's how did their parents interact, whether they were married or not? And, you know, how do they interact with their family members? And that's where, you know, a lot of these modeling comes from. That's where people's behaviors are taught. You know, we can even talk about racism, which is somewhat of an emotional intelligence issue as well. You know, racism is taught. People don't come out their mother's womb saying they don't like a certain group of people, or they don't like people based on their skin tone. You know, that is taught. That is something that society or that person's environment has taught them. And it's not necessary by conversation. It's more about behavior. It's more about what they give off. And it's interesting when many years ago I was engrossed in the 1950s and civil rights movement, because I felt like I was going through the civil rights movement in 2000. I was like, wow, I feel like this season of my life that I just went back to 1950s and having to deal with racism and having to deal with challenges when people judge you based on the color of your skin, or even taking it to sexism, people, you know, judging you based because you're a woman or a minority. And I was like, how did they endure? And I even had the opportunity to meet people who were during the civil rights movement. I had an opportunity to meet Representative John Lewis. I had an opportunity to meet few men from the Tuskegee Airmen, the pilots back then. I've had opportunities to meet other well-respected civil rights leaders, and I asked them, I said, you know, and even one time I was at a Martin Luther King Day volunteer event, and I asked a group of older African Americans, I said, you know, how do you change your perspective from when, you know, people of a different race called you different names, and now you're living with them, and now you're interacting with them? And even I'll even talk about even Holocaust survivors. You know, I've met one who transformed his life after going through so many different seasons of unforgiveness and holding a grudge and just really angry and mad. And then I met this, and he turned that around and now is very empowerful and loves to talk about his experience to empower others and to not allow people to feel like they're confined or if they go through hardship that there's no hope. But then I also met a Holocaust survivor who she was still angry at God after so many years, you know, decades actually. She was still asking God, why was she the only one that survived from her family? And it was those things that I wanted to comprehend in my mind. It's like, you know, how do you overcome these hardships? And how do you overcome such horrific experience in life, but yet to still have a positive outlook? And I guess be careful what you ask for or be careful what you get involved in, because I have my own personal experience. And it was quite interesting that, you know, it's something about learning to love. And my pastor actually is talking about how do Christians love. And, you know, and it's also talking about how do you realize that people are people, that we are all broken, no one's perfect. You know, if you expect someone to never upset you or offend you or do something bad to you, then, you know, that's really kind of naive and you've actually put yourself in a bubble. And you actually will set yourself up to not be so emotionally intelligent because you just expect life is always going to be nice, you know, perfect, and people are always going to be nice to you. And that's not going to be the case. But when you have that first encounter of a hardship or you have that first encounter of something going wrong in your life or someone treating you horribly, then that can be devastating, especially if you were not well equipped in your emotional intelligence. And some of the books that I was reading that kind of gave me some insight as well was Tony Evans' Let It Go, Breaking Free from Fear and Anxiety. And I think also that talks about emotional intelligence is, you know, there's a lot of people that live in fear and there's a lot of people that live with a lot of anxiety. And fear really is not even a real emotion. It's what you believe. And your mind is going to believe a reality based on the mind. And there's times where our mind will tell us something happened. And that's not even a reality. But it's because your mind has processed it or put the situation before you. You know, you could be thinking the worst case scenario, and that's it never really happened. But your body, your emotions will react as if it did happen. So it's quite interesting in talking about fear and anxiety, and that fear and anxiety really comes from poor expectations or even inadequacy or feeling unworthy. Then there's another book called Work Positive in the Negative World, Redefine Your Reality and Achieve Your Business Dreams. So now in talking about the business aspect of emotional intelligence, this is even quite interesting because I've come to realize in the business world, boy, do we need a lot of emotional intelligence. Besides the personal attacks, besides the spiritual attacks, in the business world, it is quite interesting when you dealing with people on different levels. What kind of experiences do you need in order to maneuver through the business world? And being an entrepreneur is great. I loved it. I've always had an entrepreneur spirit for the last 3 years. I've been a full-time entrepreneur, leaving the healthcare arena, leaving the employee, even an independent contractor, just really being a full-time entrepreneur. And it's interesting when dealing with different people how you need emotional intelligence. No matter how smart someone is, no matter how successful someone is, no matter how much money someone has or where they live, you know, you will still encounter people who have a very low level of emotional intelligence. But when it comes to the business world, it's really knowing what you're in business, why you're in business, and what you're in business for, you know, and that continues to be my motivation and understanding. No matter what challenges I've come in the business world, that I will continue to be true to myself. I will continue to be true to my clients. I will continue to be true to my purpose, because my purpose is beyond, you know, one business situation not going as I planned, or even if it did go well, you know, that I can continue to grow from it and learn from it, because the business world is not just going to be you. You're going to be dealing with merchants. You're going to be dealing with business partners. You're going to be dealing with colleagues. You're going to be dealing with customers, and you just have to be able to manage your emotions. You don't want to act irate to a potential business partner, or, you know, get upset at a customer because they weren't really satisfied with your product and or service if you gave them your best job. And realizing that people are people, and you're never going to satisfy everyone. And, you know, when sometimes I think business owners are entrepreneurs are so hard on themselves. And I think the liberating thing about being a business owner, you choose who you want to work with. You choose who you want to provide service to. You know, of course you want to provide service to everyone, but if you're like a consultant or a coach, there's clients you don't have to work with. Just because someone inquired about your services doesn't mean that they're a client for you. Or even you seeking an opportunity doesn't always necessarily mean that it'll be for you as well. And one of the other books I would like to end with is Think Rich to Get Rich, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, Mastering the Inner Game of Wealth by T. Harvey Eckhart. And this book has been by far, as well as I would add, like to add another one, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. These two books, as well as any book from Robert Kiyosaki, any book from Donald Trump, even though I don't totally agree with his political views, but I think he's a great businessman, but he's quite funny when you think about some of the things that he says and does in the political arena and even sometimes in business. But even Kim Kiyosaki and various other people who are writing awesome books on business, it is just interesting to know that your mind is powerful and your mind is controlled by emotions. And so the challenge that I have for you all today is find an assessment, an accurate assessment online, and you know, use that assessment to figure out where you are in your emotional intelligence. If you didn't rank as high as you need to, then find ways and activities and opportunities. Maybe read a book or even find strategies. There's a lot of books with strategies in it, or even find strategies online that can help you to build your emotional intelligence, because emotional intelligence is not only good for you and your health, but it's also key, once again, to living a successful, balanced, healthy, and fulfilling life. And I know I'm on that journey because I want to be an example. I want to live life to the fullest. I believe living life on my own terms, not allowing anyone to control me, my decisions, or my emotions, and or even controlling my destiny. You know, God has given each one of us purpose. God has given each one of us an assignment, and it's our journey and our quest and our obligation to find out why are we on this earth and to live out that purpose. You know, whether it's a business owner, whether it's an employee, whether it's a student, whether it's a whatever capacity you are currently in, find out how you can enjoy that season of life. And even if you're working at long-term goals, and I even say this to myself, enjoy the journey, not just the destination, because if you continue looking at the destination, when you get to the destination, you won't be fully content. You won't be fully satisfied because you were just so focused on the end result that you didn't understand the jewels, the wisdom, the experience, the people that you met along the way. And so as one of my friends told me yesterday, Fayola, live in the moment. And I'm like, how do you live in the present moment when you're supposed to be strategizing your next up and your next business plan and reaching your 10, 15, 20-year goals? So I even take the same advice that I share with you all. Learn to live in the moment, but most of all, enjoy the moment. Cherish the moment because you are not promised tomorrow. But most of all, when tomorrow is gone, it's gone forever. All you will have is the memories. So I encourage you all, once again, emotional intelligence is key to a balanced, healthy, successful, fulfilled life. And to surround yourself around emotionally healthy people. If they're not emotionally healthy, stand your distance and love them from a distance and maybe help them to become more emotionally intelligent, but continue to surround yourself around people who will help you to live the life you want to live, who will help you to get to the goals that you want to get. But definitely realizing it's not only about how smart you are, it's not only about how social you are, but it's also how do you control your emotions? Do you let your emotions control you, or do you control your emotions? Well, that's all for today. My name is Fayola Delica, the host of Finding Your Hidden Treasure. We are here every Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time in the wonderful United States of America. And I'm so excited as we're going to have another business coach on the show from Power Pack Success Coaching Program, Biba Perdon, who is the CEO of the French Network and the Queen Connection. She is going to be the fourth coach in Power Pack Success Coaching Program taking place October 24, 2015 in the South Florida area. It's a one-day intensive. We're calling it the Fast Track, where you get to make your business plan or business Masterpiece, not business plan. That's the business plan, but we're titling it as the business masterpiece in a one-day workshop. And she is going to be talking about networking and social media and marketing. So you do not want to miss next week, every Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern time, Finding Your Hidden Treasure, Blog Talk Radio. My name is Faye Odalika. Enjoy the weekend. Thank God it's Friday. Let's get some work done before the day is over. Take care. Bye-bye.